Yes, so happy Mother's Day. And if you're a guy that just walked in here and just had a moment, it is too late. Walgreens is not going to help you now. It's Mother's Day. It's already here. All right, so thank you for being here. If you're a guest with us today, you should know we've kind of been in a series that we call I Believe that we're taking a break from this week. But in I Believe, we've been looking at the foundations, what it means to be a Christian, the foundations of our faith. We looked at in-depth in God the Father. We looked at Jesus the Son. We've looked at the resurrection. I encourage you, you can go on our website. You can catch up on all of those things. And we'll continue that service next week. But it is Mother's Day, so we're taking a bit of a break from our series because I have been waiting to speak the message that I'm going to be speaking for quite some time to be able to talk two ladies about some very specific things. And the way I want to frame it up, though, is I want to talk to the men in your life. And so, guys, I want you to pay attention in how we can go about rescuing the beauty, so to speak. That'll make a little bit of sense here in just a moment. But to set this whole thing up, I want to show you a clip from the show Modern Family, because I think it begins to set up where you may be as a lady coming in and feeling maybe God the Father, your father, has abandoned you or let you go. And I think this clip really, really sets it up well. So let's watch this, and then we'll begin our talk into what God would have for us today. Let's watch this together.
Hey, listen. Oh, right. Hey guys, so Kenny and I were thinking about going to this restaurant.
Oh, sure. You don't have a problem with that, do you, Phil?
No.
In fact, it has been such a pleasure getting to know Kenny. It's our treat.
Are you kidding?
No.
Give me your credit card, Phil.
Also, this restaurant is pretty far away, so we might be out late.
Well, sweetheart, you are only young once.
Well, might even make sense to just stay in a hotel.
Okay, put it on the plastic.
Great. Okay, see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Ugh, it's my ex-wife, not the good one.
What do you want?
Nice game of chicken, Claire. She's gone.
She's coming back. I am almost positive.
Almost?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I listen to you? Why? You were wrong about the iPod being a failure. You were wrong about tomato being a vegetable. I don't even want to talk about your favorite planet, Pluto. And unless she was lying to the good ladies of The View, it's to me, not Demi.
You're going to let me go with him?
Isn't that what you wanted, honey?
What's the matter with you? You've been acting so weird ever since I left college.
For the record, you didn't leave college. You were asked to leave.
Oh, would you guys never let me forget, especially Dad.
Honey, your father.
Oh, you don't have to tell me what he thinks, okay? I'm a huge disappointment to him. I see it on his face every day. He acts as if he doesn't even want me around.
Give me the ticket for the car.
Phil?
No, I'm going after her. This little chicken game may work for your dad, but it doesn't work for me. That's my little girl. I need her to know that no guy on earth is good enough for her, let alone some slimy middle-aged jean salesman.
What's this?
Just enjoy it.
So, ladies, first thing I want to start out here, you may be here in many different stories. You may feel like you are a big disappointment to your Heavenly Father, and you may feel like nothing is going right. The thing that I want to tell you is your Father cares for you deeply. He is coming for you. His desire is to rescue you. He does love you. So the way I want to frame up this message is I want to begin by talking a little bit about the completeness of what it means to be the image of God. And so in the beginning of time, when things were created and man was put on earth, God created man and he created woman, and he uses both of them to accurately reflect the image of God. And so if we only look at men and their heart and their attributes, we get an incomplete image of who God is. It takes looking at a woman and her heart and her desires to begin to see this is how God operates and this is who he is. So men, the way that God has wired us, and men, we're pretty easy to figure out, but we have to have a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue, right? If you think of every great movie you ever watch, guy movie, it has those three things in it. A battle to fight, you know, a beauty to rescue, and then this just desire to go on an adventure. That's how we're wired. And that reflects part of God. But women, you reflect a completely different image of God. And if we're honest, guys, if we were telling the women in our lives right now, you're a bit of a mystery to us. We don't understand you. And it's not because we haven't tried. We tried. Maybe we gave up too easy. But part of the mystery of woman is understanding her desires in the way that she is made also reflects God. And a woman was created to have a desire to be romanced. A woman was created with a desire to play an irreplaceable role in a great adventure. To know no one else can play this. And she's also created to unveil beauty. So this idea of romance, this idea of an irreplaceable role, this idea of beauty, this also reflects who God is and gives us a more complete picture. So on Father's Day, I'm going to talk about guys, and we're going to look at some of the core desires. And ladies, I want to talk to ladies about men on Father's Day, but today's Mother's Day, and so I want to talk to men about women. And in order to understand the beginnings of our story, we kind of got to go all the way back to the first woman. We have to go back to Eve. That when we get back to Eve in the beginning and the creation of things, this is what Genesis says about that moment. Genesis 2:18 says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It's not good for man to be alone,'" which we could just pause and say, every woman in this room has probably said that. It's not good when my man is alone. Bad things happen, right? So God looks down. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper just right for him. The importance that you need to understand here is what God was saying when he looked down. It's not just that man was alone. When he looked down and saw, he sees this is incomplete. I'm not done yet. Man does not fully reflect who I am. It's not good that he is alone. So I'm going to make a helper for him. And now over the years and different things, lots of chauvinistic movements have used this to make women feel like they're just some sort of handmaiden or helper. And the English word gives us that definition. Ladies, you should know that the Hebrew word is a lot stronger. It's not, oh, she's some cute little helper. The Hebrew word here is the word azer. And when you see this word elsewhere in Scripture, it means some sort of significant, substantial aid or assistance, typically applied to someone who was an armed guard or someone who was ready for battle, that they were coming to bring help. Azer. It is also a term used in Scripture when it says, "The Lord has come to be our help." This is the word that is used. When we talk about the mightiness of his help and the strength of his help, azer is the term that is used. So it's not that Eve was created as some cute person to hold a flashlight while you fix things. She has her own intelligence. She has her own strength. She has her own power, fully capable, fully qualified, and just as adept as Adam. So let's just be clear in where we're at, that this is not the weaker partner. This is not that the two of them together are the image of God, and one without the other is an incomplete image of God. So women, you were created to reflect the romance of God. You were created to reflect his desire to play an irreplaceable role in your story. You were created to reflect the beauty of God. And so with that, ladies, all of the life that God has in this world is available to you. All of the beauty, all of the dignity, all of the healing, the restoration, the intimacy, the really knowing who you are, all of this is available. However, there's a reason that this is rare. There's a reason that we don't see it very often. And it's probably not the reason that you thought. Most women feel like the reason that they can't have beauty and they can't have all the desires of their heart, most women, they believe, well, it's just not for me. That's fine for that woman over there. And I get it. She probably is worthy, or she probably, I understand. It's for her, but it's not for me. And most women believe, you know, I just can't get my act together. I don't have the right relationship with the people that are around me. I don't have the relationship with God. I don't have, and you build up a list and you say, well, that's the reason it's not available, is because I'm just not the right person. But the reason that so many women don't walk in the beauty that they were created to be and don't walk in the power they were created to have is because who they are at their core is greatly opposed. There's opposition to every woman that sits inside of this room. Men, have you ever wondered why it is that every single heartbreak that your wife or child or daughter or mother, every heartbreak that they experience is centered around relationships? Because it's the relationships that the enemy uses and what happens in those relationships he uses to pierce their heart. He is after absolute destruction. In John 10:10, which is a verse we all like to quote, we like to say, and Jesus said, I came that you have life and life to the full. We love that verse. I love that verse. But it's only half of the verse. It's actually the last half of the verse. The first half of the verse simply says this, that the thief, the enemy, Satan himself, comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. But I have come that you could have life and life to the full. You see, who you are and what you were created to be is greatly opposed. An enemy that wants to steal your heart, to kill your heart, to destroy your heart. And in this one verse, Jesus really sums up the entire plot line of the Bible. The whole Bible can be summed up as there's an enemy. And his object and his objective is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But God and Jesus want to bring us life and life to the full. So of course God would say to every woman in the room, of course my intentions for you are good. Of course I want to see you accomplish great things. Of course I want you to grow in your beauty. Of course I want you to do these things. But you have an enemy. You have someone who is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. Yes, my intentions are for you are good, but you do have an enemy. So, let me ask it this way. Think about all the great stories that we read. All the great stories that we go, oh, that's a wonderful story. Why does every great story have a villain? Have you ever wondered? Why does every great story have a villain? Cinderella, who's the villain? The wicked stepmother. Sleeping Beauty, villain? Right? The wicked witch. Chronicles of Narnia, it's the white witch. In Braveheart, it's Longshanks, the evil English king. In Lord of the Rings, it's Sauron. In Les Miserables, it's the inspector who maybe on the surface appears to be good, but yes, he's conniving and evil and he's horrible. Why does every great story have a villain? It's simple. Because your story does. Because you do. And in it, something rings true that when we look at a great story and there's no villain, something says, well, that story's not true because your heart is telling you. Your story has a villain. But most of us, we don't live like we have a villain, really. We don't live like there really is an enemy out to steal, to kill, and destroy. Most Christians, in fact, in the United States right now, don't live as if there is any villain whatsoever, that there would be any kind of opposition. We just live, we would rather not know. And when you live your story and your life as if there is no villain, it makes life very confusing. Think of all the stuff that happens in your life that you have to make sense of, all of the things that we go under. Or live under. Think of contempt, shame, guilt. Ladies, think of all the times that you have those conversations with friends, and then as soon as you get in the car, you have to replay all the dumb things that you said and how you wish you could re-say them, right? Think of all the things and the messages that we live under and all the condemnation that we have, and the reason we have it is because our story has a villain. Ladies, why are relationships so hard? They shouldn't be that hard, right? You ever told yourself, this should not be that hard? It's because your story has a villain. And your happiness and your joy, even in the Lord, is greatly opposed. And if you live your story like there isn't a villain, then it seems like romance is just a distant target. It seems like marriage and love, these are just unattainable. And what you're left with to assume is two very dangerous things. If my story doesn't have a villain, I'm left to assume that either I'm blowing it, I'm terrible, I'm horrible, I'm not good enough, I'm not living up to this, and for some reason I'm just, you know, not that great of a mom, I'm not that great of a husband or wife, I'm not that great, you know, whatever. Or you begin to think, yeah, God's holding out on me. You know, yeah, I get that God does all these great things, but you know what? He does it for them. He's never going to do it for me, and God is holding out for me. If your story doesn't have a villain, you're left with one of those two conclusions, and both of them couldn't be any further from the truth. It means somebody has to take the blame for stuff, don't they? And many of you need to understand this about the women in your life. They will take the blame for everything. It always falls on them. It's always my fault. I'll just take the blame. And our enemy is delighted to live in secret and just let you take the blame. You know, Satan loves that in our current culture that we don't even believe that he exists, because he's able to wreak havoc in our life and we have no offensive weapon against him. We have no defense. He is more than happy to create all kinds of chaos in your life and then the insidious thing, make you think that you caused it and you are the reason for it. He's more than happy to do this. But when we go through Scripture, we realize we do have an enemy. And the sooner we choose in reality that God tells us that there is an enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, the sooner we do that, the sooner we can get on with life. The sooner we can get along with restoration, with health, with breakthrough, with healing. We have to understand first that we really do have an enemy. Now, let's continue with this story thing. Men, think about all the great stories that we watch. In those stories, there's usually a beauty, is there not? Because, I mean, we're not going to watch a story unless there's some sort of beautiful woman in part of it, right? There's a beauty. It's a part of the story. And in it, there's a villain. And the villain typically can't get to the hero, right? That's the storyline. For whatever reason, he can't get to the hero. He can't touch the hero. And I must state this up front. The hero in our story, guys, I know you got big egos and you're great. You're not the hero of the story, right? God is the hero of the story. But in every great story, there's a hero, and the enemy can't get to the hero. So who does the enemy go after? Who does the villain go after in the stories? Goes after the woman, doesn't he? Goes after the love, goes after the beauty. I can't get to the hero, I'll get to the woman. If I can get to the woman, I can get to the hero. That's the plot line, right? And so Satan knows he can't get to the hero of the story. He can't get to God. He was hurled out of heaven. He lost that battle. He tried to rebel and lost. And then he lost again at the cross when Jesus died and his blood was spilled that allowed to cover our sins. And then he lost 3 days later when Jesus raised himself from the dead to prove everything that he said in that power. He just lost, lost, lost. So he can't get to the hero, so he'll go for the beauty. If I can take the beauty out, then I can go after the heart of the hero. So he goes after the beauty. He goes after by telling her stories and lies and things that aren't true. Ladies, think about this. When you pass a mirror and stand in front of a mirror, why is it that the first thought is not, oh, how beautiful you are? Oh, how lovely. Why is your first thought something else? Why is your first thought, I'm not measuring up, I'm ugly, I'm incomplete? Why is it that you can't seem to climb out of years upon years of shame or guilt or contempt or discouragement or depression? Have you ever noticed that there's a theme to your life, ladies? I mean, I've talked to enough ladies and, you know, we've done biblical counseling around this. I see it all the time. Every person, their story has a theme. And so for some ladies, you know, for one woman who comes in, their theme is rejection. And their whole life has been about rejection. From the time that they were a small child, maybe mom or dad rejected them, and then a boyfriend rejected them, and then rejection, rejection, rejection. And so the enemy just builds that as a theme. I'm rejected. And you've begun to believe I'm rejected. For another woman, it's embarrassment or shame. For another woman, it might be loneliness, or it might be contempt. And sadly, even for women in this room, there are probably many that their theme is the story of violence in their life. Why is this? Because your story has a villain. He's out to steal, to kill, and destroy. Let me give you two reasons why. Because why? Why does he attack the beauty? Why does he go after the beauty? First one, this might be helpful for you, is because woman, Eve, women, she bears the beauty of God that he used to bear. She now is the bearer of things that are beauty. If you're new to Bible study, we get to learn a lot about Satan, who's also named Lucifer in the book of Ezekiel. And what we learn as we go through Ezekiel is how beautiful Satan was at one time. That he actually was the chief of angels and was in the throne room of God. And it was his responsibility to reflect back the glory and the beauty of God. It says that he was adorned with glory and beauty. He was the most gorgeous of all the angels. He was the beautiful one. It was actually in that beauty that led to his pride, that led to his fall. And when he fell, all of that beauty and all of that glory was removed from him. And when God created you, when he created Eve, I'm going to put my beauty on her. She now reflects the beauty. And when Satan sees you, he sees you as someone who has what he once had, and he hates you. He hates you. The second reason that the enemy is especially vicious towards women is that you bring life when his kingdom is nothing but death. You see, Eve brings life. Quite literally, you bring life. That's why we have Mother's Day here, right? For those of you that are moms, you had children, you brought them in the world, you brought life. Some of you regret some of the lives you brought into the world. I get it. But you bring life, quite literally, but also figuratively. Take a bunch of guys, put us in a room doing guy things, doing dumb stuff, farting and whatever we're doing that are guys, and it's horrible. I get it, it's horrible. And a woman walks in. Oh, the room changes. The beauty has entered the room. I loved watching my sons as they were young teenagers and young boys, and they were doing all kinds of boy things, you know, and everything, and, you know, not smelling well, and their hair is all messed up and everything. And then a young, beautiful girl comes walking by, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, watch me bend this fork. I mean, you know, they were like feats of strength and everything else. Why? Because the beauty entered the room. You bring life, quite literally and figuratively, and his kingdom is death. You see, you bring beauty, mystery, and life. And you are God's image on earth, and he hates it. So he comes after you. And here's how he assaults you. This might be helpful. Men, this is helpful for you to understand how the enemy assaults your wife. Ladies, this is helpful for you to understand how you are being assaulted. His biggest assault, the biggest thing that he does over and over, and it really truly becomes your biggest fear, is he begins to whisper a lie to you, and he says it enough and often enough that you begin to believe it, and the lie is this: you are alone, and you will always be alone. No one's ever going to come for you. You're alone. You're going to stay that way, and no one's ever going to come for you. And he started whispering this when you were a little girl, and then into your teenage years, and then into your 20s, and now you're maybe a young woman, maybe you're a fully mature woman, and your whole life, you have begun to believe, I'm alone, because it feels true. And everything that has been engineered around you makes it feel true. Satan doesn't cause every sorrow that's in our life. I mean, certainly our own human sin can. But I will tell you, everything that goes wrong, he's at least there to put his spin on it. Oh, yeah. You see, you are alone. You see, no one's ever going to come for you. You cried out, nothing happened. Always, always. And it's quite sneaky and insidious. There's a clip, I think, that really lays this out. And every time I show this clip to ladies, they engage with it. They understand. It's from the Two Towers, the Lord of the Rings movie series. And in it, there is Eowyn, who is the daughter of the king. She is a princess. And her brother has died. The heir to the throne has died. And this slimy little character that represents evil, who's working behind the scenes, sneaks into the room to put his spin on her grief. I want you to listen to what he says, ladies, and see if you can't identify with the message and also the mode that he goes about. Let's watch this. We'll talk.
He must have died sometime in the night. What a tragedy for the king to lose his only son and heir. I understand. His passing is hard to accept, especially now that your brother has deserted you.
Leave me alone, Snake!
Oh, but you are alone. Who knows what you've spoken to the darkness? Bitter watches of the night, when all your life seems to shrink, the walls of your bower closing in about you, a hutch to trammel some wild thing. So fair, so cold, like a morning of pale spring still clinging to winter's chill.
Words of poison.
Seem familiar? I think every lady here has felt that in one way or another. And oh, that we all would recognize it and say, oh, your words are poison. But that's the message. Oh, but you are alone. Everyone has abandoned you. He comes with messages like, why bother? Why do you keep trying? It's too hard. Give up. God's not going to be there for you. Yeah, this is all great, but it's not for you. It's great for them, but it's not for you. God loves them. He must not love you. He comes with messages like, it's just too late. You're just too old. You should just give up. There's too much water under the bridge. Things are just irrecoverable. You don't deserve it. That's a great message he uses. You're not worthy. You don't deserve it. Yeah, these other ladies, they might need freedom, but you don't deserve it. And the messages feel true, but they're not. So how do you combat a lie? You combat a lie with truth. So ladies, in the time I've got left here, let me speak to you some truth. Let me give you a couple of verses from the Bible that you can hang on to. First, around this idea that you are alone. You're not alone. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus echoes something very similar in Matthew 28. He tells you, and surely I am with you. Always, even to the very end of the age. You're not alone. The truth is, you are beautiful. Song of Solomon is a beautiful book written between two lovers, but it's also a book given to us to see the romance of God for us. And so, ladies, take heart this in Song of Solomon 4:7. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. The truth is, you're also worth romancing. Isaiah 43:4 says, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you. people in exchange for your life. You are worth, you are valuable, you are worth romancing. And the truth is, you really do play an irreplaceable role. Galatians 1:15 tells us, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace," to be set aside means that there is a purpose. When you set something aside, you're going to use it. You have been set aside. There is a purpose. There is a role, an irreplaceable role that you are to be playing. So, what do we do with all this? First thing I would say to ladies is this. If you're not in a group of ladies pursuing the desires, the core desires of a woman's heart, you need to get in one. You need to be around women who can counteract the lies, who can say, yes, you are beautiful, who can live out this message. You need to take time for that. You need to spend time in that. We got a couple of groups here that are ladies getting together to do just that. Find one. Get in one. But men, here's what I would tell you. One of your greatest battles that you are made to fight is for the heart of the beauties that are in your life. We were made to fight. This is what we do. And so let me give you four things on how you can fight for the beauties in your life. How do you fight for their heart? Number one, show them that they are worth romancing. Show your love that she is worth romancing. And guys, this is more than chocolate and cards and flowers, all right? Now, some women like chocolate and cards and flowers. That's cool, but maybe not. It's more than that. I'm fortunate my wife does not like chocolate, cards, or flowers. Well, she likes chocolate. Does not like cards or flowers. She does not like chocolate on fabricated holidays. So, like, I will stand here on stage, no Mother's Day card from me to my wife, and she's thrilled, and I'm thrilled. It's awesome. It's great. But what she does like are little post-it notes that say, here's what I noticed about you. Here's what I love about you. I know she likes to be outside. So we spend time in the mornings and in the evenings outside talking about our day. This is how I tell her, you're worth romancing. If you want some keys to this, you can go check out Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages. It'll lay it out for you. There's 5 love languages. There's gifts. There's words of affirmation. There's physical touch with every guy goes, uh-huh. That doesn't necessarily mean sex. There's quality time. And there's acts of service. You need to find a way to get into this. Here, I'm going to show you how you're worth romancing. Number two that you can do. So you can show her she's worth romancing. Number two, help her find her irreplaceable role. Help her find it. Help her rediscover it. Every woman had a dream as a little girl of what they wanted to achieve. Everyone. Life has beaten it out of them. Things have robbed them. Go and ask, hey, what is it that you used to dream about? What is it you want to accomplish in life? Where would you like to be able to do? When you get to the end, what do you want to do? Because see, every woman had a dream, and almost every woman has now settled for a lesser goal. Go back and say, can we figure out what is it you want to do? And then do everything. Move hell if you have to make it happen. Make it happen. Help her find her irreplaceable role. Three, show her that she's beautiful. Show her that she's beautiful. Outward beauty is one thing. And as men, we can appreciate outward beauty. Inner beauty is quite another. And someone, I believe their inner beauty always outshines their outer beauty. And so you can just begin by having the women in your life, just tell them they're beautiful. I just want you to know you're beautiful. I tell my daughter this all the time. I tell my wife, hey, I just want you to know you're beautiful. I think you're beautiful. But then move beyond that. Women need to be in relationship with other women, just like I talked about, who are pursuing these core desires, the things that create inner beauty inside of them. They need time. They need space. Every woman will do everything for everyone else, and they save themselves for last. There's never enough time. And they make themselves last. Guys, you make sure that you move them up the list, even in their own life. Hey, you need to go have time for that. You need to go take care of that. Go do that. I'll put the kids to bed. I can't guarantee they'll be fully clothed, but they will go to sleep. Right? You need some space for that. You know, I'll make sure that they eat. It will not be nutritious, but go. They will live another day. You need to spend time with, you make that happen. You let her do what she has to do to build her inner beauty, and that tells her you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And then fourthly, you can combat her biggest fear. And you can let her know that she is not alone in whatever it is that she's fighting. She's not alone. In raising the kids, hey, you are not alone in raising the kids. I just want you to know that. And then put some action behind it. Help out. Do the laundry every once in a while. Pick your dirty underwear and socks off the floor and actually wash them. That would be amazing. Help out with the children. Spend, do homework. I'm amazed at how many stories I hear of men. There's so many women that are afraid they can't leave their own children with their husbands because the men don't know how to take care of them. Fix that. Let her know you're not alone in raising the kids. I'm here. She's not alone in whatever finances are going on. She's not alone in living life. The marriage is not just a one-sided deal. You know, I'm going to help out around the house. I'm going to create a date night. I'm going to bring love and passion back into our everyday life. I'm going to bring this back. You're not alone in this. You're not alone in whatever you're facing health-wise. I'm here. I'm going to go to the doctor's with you. I'm going to help you figure this out. You're not alone in whatever relational difficulties you're going through. I am here. Can you tell me about it? Be present. Let the beauties in your life know you're not alone. Because the enemy is going to be telling her, just like we saw, oh, but you are alone. And you let her know, you know what? You're not alone. Your Heavenly Father is not leaving you alone, and I'm not leaving you alone. And address those things. It's got to be more than words, guys. Take some action. You, as men, can't completely rescue your beauty, but you certainly have a role that you can play. And your Heavenly Father wants you to play that role. And one of the biggest things that you could do would be to become the spiritual leader of your home. Learn how to pray. Grab your family together and pray. Ask your wife, how can I pray for you? And then pray for her. Become the spiritual leader that you were made to be. Stop having your wife drag you to church. You drag them. That'll freak her out. Be who you were made to be. So guys, if there's a beauty in your life, take your role seriously. Play your part in rescuing the beauty. Because really and truly, it's one of the things that you were made for. Let's all pray. So Father, we invite you into this space and we invite you into this room. And I'm sure that there are ladies that are here. Many of them are maybe feeling like the daughter in that opening clip where, is my Heavenly Father ever going to come for me? He just thinks I'm a big disappointment. Father, I pray through your Holy Spirit that you would speak into their lives, that you love them, that they are greatly desired. Jesus, I pray that you would come for their heart, come for them. God, empower us as men. Give us wisdom. We can be so stupid and so ignorant. God, open our eyes to fight for these beautiful women that you have placed around us. Let us see in them the reflection of you. God, help us to join you in the recovery of their heart. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.